This is 2EC playing the South Coast's greatest hits. And with the climate talks in Glasgow just days away and the headlines dominated by the federal government's attitude going into the talks, I thought I would bring in some industry figures to talk about this. I've got Lewis Tindall, who is the co-founder of Green Collar, one of Australia's biggest environmental companies. He has been at the forefront of financial innovation and creation of environmental solution for decades. Lewis, hello.
Hi, how are you going, Bertie?
Good, thanks. Thanks for joining me. Now, firstly, just tell me a little bit about Green Collar. What is it that you guys do there?
Well, Green Collar is an environmental markets company, and we started out with carbon projects about 11, 12 years ago, with the objective to assist the ag sector to be able to obtain an alternative form of income using carbon credits by regenerating trees and forests on their land. Subsequently, we've moved into water quality credits. We're developing plastic credits and biodiversity credits so as to cover the, you know, the environmental field.
And this is interesting because the talk at the moment is about how the regions and particularly farmers will be hurt. The National Party, as you would know, are sort of dragging the chain a little bit. But from what you've just said, it seems like they can profit from moving forward in this regard.
Yeah, well, definitely the farming sector has always been able to make money out of carbon by either growing trees on their property, by regenerating, by regrowth, or by avoiding the clearing of the forest that they already have on their land. But they also can contribute to the environment by monitoring and managing their water quality in using reef credit in the wet tropics and soon to be spread around Australia.
So where does this money come from, these so-called credits?
Well, this is a really good point. See, the objective of an environmental market like carbon or water quality or plastics is to reduce the amount of, in carbon's case, emissions going into the atmosphere and also extracting or sequestering carbon from the atmosphere. So CO2 and trees are carbon, so the natural carbon sink is are trees and forests.
And Lewis, just going into Glasgow, and it is all over the news at the moment, the federal government having trouble coming to a consensus on this. Now, I thought that there might be some room for, well, you know, the state governments are somehow leapfrogging the federal government in terms of their commitments, but is it also happening on the business side of things?
Well, look, I'm flummoxed how governments anywhere in the world, including here, are unable to get the climate change issue. This is a science issue. It's not a political issue. And how the regions have already been benefiting from climate change initiatives such as carbon credits, it is beyond silly for anybody to be arguing about these matters now, especially going into Glasgow. But here's the thing. Not only are the state governments in Australia also leapfrogging the federal government, but while they're bickering between different factions of different parties, the corporate sector is supercharging their approach to the environment. Our motto in Green Collar is that we put the environment on the balance sheet, and we do that by allowing companies to be able to participate in the reduction of their emissions, to participate in the reduction of sediment going into the reef, participate in the reduction of nitrogen going onto the reef. And these are things that the corporates of the world are acting on very quickly and very broadly right around the world. And I'll give you this metric just to quickly explain how that has manifested itself. In 2014, when Tony Abbott decided that the carbon scheme that the government had in place wasn't suitable for his party and he scrapped the tax, he did it on the basis that the price of carbon in Australia was about $23 under the Gillard scheme and the Rudd scheme. The price in Europe for a permit of carbon was 12 to 13 Australian dollars. Well, today, the spot price of a carbon credit in Australia is north of $33, and the spot price of a permit of carbon in Europe is north of 95 Australian dollars.
So how does Australia effectively trade in these international markets on carbon? Because we don't have, do we need a carbon tax to do that?
No, we don't. These markets, currently we don't have what's called market fungibility between each of the markets producing carbon credits, so we can't sell the Australian carbon credit unit into Europe. We think it'll come. It's part of Article 6. It's part of the negotiations that's going forward in Glasgow. And, of course, when we get to that stage, it'll mean that people will be wanting to plant trees in the Amazon and in the Indonesian rainforest for carbon instead of wood, instead of cutting them down for grazing and in palm oil in the case of Indonesia. So the further north the carbon price goes, the more incentive there is for people to be planting trees and growing forests and replenishing our carbon into our trees.
Okay, Lewis. All right. Well, just stick with us and we'll come back in a minute. This is 2EC. This is 2EC. We're talking with Lewis Tindall, who is the co-founder of Green Collar, one of Australia's biggest environmental companies. And Lewis, we were talking about the price of carbon just before the break. I want to ask you about the price of coal and other fossil fuels right now, because somebody like yourself has been around the industry for a while. Is this worrying for you, the latest price surge in fossil fuels coming into this climate talks?
Not really. Look, at the end of the day, fossil fuels will be a stranded asset. I personally don't advocate for the immediate extinguishment of coal mining, because the objective is that we transition out of these things. We need to head towards net zero. If we're net zero, you can be still mining coal. Well, I don't advocate that, but you know, if you are achieving net zero, then you should. The objective is to be able to keep your businesses and keep your economy going. This sector does not want to stop businesses, does not want to stop the economy. It wants to have it run sustainably. It wants to be able to have emissions, but done on the basis that they are done sustainably. Some businesses will need to emit. So we understand that. So the price of coal is really not that relevant. It will come back down, and coal as an investable commodity will start to lose any luster it's got. It already has. But the corporates have already moved ahead on this. There's a thing called Environmental, Social and Governance, ESG, which are extracted out of the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. And companies now, if you invest in a company today, you are normally asked, do you want an ESG overlay? That is, do you want to remove anything that doesn't have a high environmental, social and governance quotient? So, for example, if you don't want to invest in oil or resources or coal or gambling or smoking, you can do that. And so that'll have a social impact. Companies that have bad emissions and are not offsetting their emissions, they will have a negative environmental quotient, and people will tend to shy away from those investments. So companies are now looking at this as an investability option, not so much as a corporate social responsibility, which used to be the case. This is a real fundamental structural change in the way people invest.
And Lewis, going into the Glasgow talks, what is Australia? Are we going to be the pariah of the international world?
Look, typically, I've been to many of these COPs. Australia, it isn't necessarily regarded as a pariah because we're a respected state around the world in other ways, but it is amongst the participants, it is very well known that Australia is a laggard. So, you know, we need to make some real identifiable movements towards net zero, and we need to really follow some of the conservative governments around the world, including the UK, which is one of the leading climate change acceptors of science and change agents around the world of climate change. And they're a Tory government, and they have been for many years following the climate science. So we just need to do that.
And Lewis, I do have one more question for you, actually. What do you think of green hydrogen? Is that a plausible alternative?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Green hydrogen is just the notion that the huge amount of electricity that is made, that is consumed in the creation of hydrogen as a fuel should be coming from a renewable source. So because it's such an emission-intensive industry, the idea is that you don't want to be creating more emissions to make an emission-free fuel. So the idea is that these large solar arrays will service the electricity needs of the hydrogen creating industries.
Okay, Lewis. Well, I really appreciate your time today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.